My name is Phil Common. 3 years ago, I was a C-plus chemist working for a pharma company in Youngstown, Ohio, with a bar band that was actually good and a job that wasn't. Then I told a man in a bar that magic wasn't real. I was wrong. This is where I tell you everything that happened after. Into a box, late at night, because the box doesn't laugh. Welcome to the Common Tales. Okay, you're up. You're up, I'm up, the meat is also up, and that's the whole reason we're here. Hi to nobody. Hi, nobody. I'm a little keyed up tonight, if I'm honest. It's the time of year. There's a thing in the air. The night's getting that bite to them, the leaves starting to turn, and back home that meant something. It meant something so big I don't have anybody to say it to. So I'm saying it to you. Lucky Box. And it put a story in my head I don't tell much. I don't tell it because every time I do, it comes out as a bar joke. And it is a bar joke. It's a great bar joke. But underneath the joke is the night I found out exactly how much of home I was still dragging around with me. Like I checked a bag I forgot I was carrying, and it was heavy, and it was full of Ohio. So, this is the night I tried to explain football, and a tavern came apart over a game that does not exist in this world. Set the scene for me. This is early, first year here, give or take. I was past the worst of the drinking, but I was still raw, still doing the thing where I'd be fine all day, and then the homesickness would just walk in and sit down at my table without asking. And it was autumn. That's the important part. My body knew it was autumn before my brain did, because where I'm from, autumn is football. And I don't mean a game. I mean a religion with a marching band. I mean Saturdays where an entire state puts on the same two colors, scarlet and gray, write that down, and 100,000 people pour into one giant bowl to scream at 22 guys over an inflated piece of leather. When you say it like that, it sounds insane. It is insane. I miss it so much I could lie down on the floor. So I'm in the tavern, the Crow and Lantern, my regular spot, and I'm playing the room, doing my usual, and I'm just leaking. I'm homesick, and the Meads loosened the lid, and I start telling them about it, about football. And friends, that was the mistake. That was the whole mistake right there. Because here's what I didn't understand yet. These people are sharp. They're not simple, but they have no frame for this. None. There's no word here for sport. There's hunting, there's war, there's a festival where two villages throw a greased pig at each other. That's real, that's a separate episode. But a game? Organized? With rules and a clock and grown men weeping in the stands? Nothing. I'm describing color to people who've only ever known sound. And it starts okay. I'm describing the basics. Two armies, and I should have heard it the second it left my mouth. I said armies. Two armies, 100 yards of field, you carry the leather to the far end, you score. The other side tries to stop you, with their bodies. And the table goes quiet in a way I should have recognized. That's not, we're bored quiet. That's, tell us more about the war quiet. And this fella down the bench, big guy, hands like Rurik's, leans in real serious. He goes, how many of them die? And I laughed, because, no, nobody dies. It's a game. They wear armor, sort of, padding, helmets, and you're trying to get the leather past them, not kill them. And he nods slow, like I've confirmed something. And he goes, so it's a siege, with a prize. And I went, sure, yeah, close enough. That was the second mistake. Because now I've told a tavern full of people that there is an ancient, ritualized, 100-yard siege fought every autumn by two great houses in front of 100,000 witnesses, and they are leaning in. They want lore now. They want the houses. And this is where the homesickness drove the wagon right off the road. Because I should have said, it's just teams, just schools, no big deal. Instead, I gave them the rivalry. I gave them the whole rivalry. I told them about my house, Scarlet and Gray, the Buckeyes, greatest fans in the land, and I said it with my chest. I want that on the record. And then I told them about the enemy, the team up north. That team up north. You'll even say the name where I'm from. You just point north and grimace. And I did the grimace. I did the whole bit. I told them these two houses have hated each other for over 100 years, that the hate gets passed down father to child like a family blade, that one Saturday a year, everything else stops, and it is just these two settling it again forever. And I look up, and the room has picked sides. I'm not kidding you. While I was monologuing, the tavern has self-sorted. Half of them have decided they are scarlet and gray people because that's my house and they like me. And the other half, the contrarians, every bar has them, have decided that they, personally, are loyal to the team up north. A team that they invented 90 seconds ago from a country that doesn't exist. They are now defending its honor. And there's this one woman, Het, ran the cheese stall at market. Lovely person. Het stands up and points at the big siege guy and says, and I quote, "Your house has no discipline." And I want to be clear, Het does not know what a house is. Het has, in the last 4 minutes, become the most committed fan of a fictional college football team in the recorded history of the multiverse, and she is ready to throw down over its honor. And I'm sitting there going, guys, it's a game. There's no house. It's 22 strangers in another world. None of them know you exist. You can't be a fan. You just heard about it. Please. And nobody's listening because I made it sound like the best thing they'd ever heard, which is my literal job. I'm a bard. I'm too good at my one job. And the big siege guy stands up and he points at Het and he says the thing. He says, up north, they cheat. And I have never said that. I want that on the record too. I never told them anybody cheats. He made that up. He invented the cheating allegation out of pure ancestral instinct, the way every true fan eventually does, completely from scratch. I have genuinely never been prouder and more horrified at the same moment in my life. And then somebody throws a turnip. To this day, I don't know who threw the turnip, but somebody threw a turnip and it hit a man who I'm fairly sure was neutral, an innocent bystander who just wanted a quiet ale, and he stands up. And now he's got a side because nothing radicalizes a man like a turnip to the ear. And that's it. That's the dam. A bench goes over. Het's got the siege guy by the beard. Two people I'd never seen before are wrestling over which fake house has the better, I don't even know, the better honor? And the tavern keeper is screaming about his furniture, and a mug sails past my head and shatters on the wall, and I am standing on my own chair, loot held over my head like a man saving a baby from a flood, yelling the truest thing I have ever yelled in this world. It's not even real here! Nobody heard me. Nobody cared. The siege had begun. So that's the joke. That's the version I'd tell for coins. Tavern fight over a sport that doesn't exist. Big finish, loot over my head, gets a laugh every time. But you're not a tavern. You're a box. So let me tell you the part I leave out. I got the loot home that night, and I sat on the edge of my bed, and I was shaking. Not scared shaking, the other kind. Because somewhere in the middle of all that, the turnip, Het, the cheating that I never alleged, I'd felt something I hadn't felt since I got here. For about 90 seconds, a room full of people cared about Scarlet and Gray, and I knew it was fake. I knew they'd cobbled it together out of a story I told too well. But for 90 seconds it was in the air, in a room, with other people, and I hadn't had that since the last time I stood in an actual stadium and didn't know how good I had it. Here's what I actually miss, and it's not the game. I'd say the game if you asked me sober, but it's not the game. It's the morning. It's waking up and the whole town's already decided how it feels. Strangers nodding at you on the street because you're both wearing the colors, and that's enough. That's the whole conversation. You're on the same side of something. For 3 hours, you belong to 100,000 people, and you don't have to be good enough, or smart enough, or anybody in particular. You just have to wear the colors, and mean it. And I was never anybody in particular back home. You know that by now. Always the adjacent guy. but the stadium didn't care. The colors don't check your grades. That's the thing nobody tells you about belonging to something bigger than yourself. It's the only place a small guy gets to feel big, for free, just for showing up. I came here with nothing, lost the whole country in one bar stool, and I still can't put it down. I'm in another world, and my body still knows when it's a Saturday in October. And that's what the fight really was. It wasn't about football. It was me trying to hand somebody a piece of home, the realest piece I had, and watching it land in their hands as something completely different. A war, a siege, houses and cheating and a turnip. I held out the most precious thing I own, and they took it, and they loved it, and they made it into something I didn't recognize. Which, when you say it out loud, might be the truest thing that's ever happened to me here. I keep handing this world pieces of home, and it keeps loving them, and it keeps turning them into something else. I don't have anybody to wear the colors with. That's the whole thing. That's the thing under the joke. Hang on, let me get the loot. I wrote a thing. It's a fight song. For a team that isn't anywhere. Nobody here will ever see it, and nobody here will ever sing it back. And I wrote it anyway. Of course I did. Yeah, that one gets me in the bridge every time. The part about the blacksmith. Because that part's true. He really did pick up my fight song. The real one. The one I hum tuning the lute, and now he hammers to it, and it's spreading. And someday, some kid 200 miles from here is going to hum a tune that started in a stadium in Ohio and never know it. My fingerprints. all over a world that'll never know my name. And here's the part I'll admit only to a box. They still argue about it. The two houses at the Crow and Lantern, years later. Somebody will get a few in them and bring up how the team up north cheats, and somebody else will defend their honor, and it'll get heated over a rivalry that does not exist between schools in a country that isn't real, in a sport nobody in the room has ever seen. And I never corrected them. I could have. Plenty of nights I could have stood up and said, "Folks, I made the whole thing up. None of it's real. Go home." But I didn't. Because for 90 seconds, once, it gave them what it used to give me. And who am I to take the colors back? The cup's empty. That's the cup telling me to wrap it up. The cup is wiser than me, and it's made of clay. Good night, Cosset. Don't give me the broken light. Give me the other one. That's the same light. Scarlet and gray.